Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. This episode, we talk about gaming headphones. And have you been duped? We tell you what you really need. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKay.
Hey, Dennis. This week, I had a good friend of mine, actually a prominent streamer, reach out to me because he wanted to upgrade his gaming experience, his audio experience, if you want to be really specific.
Yeah, audio is one of those things that you need to have to play a game. Last month when we were playing World War III, the audio stream was out of sync, and that was impacting your gameplay almost 100%. It was
painful. Terrible. And you don't know what you've got till it's gone, right? Because that was really an incredible disadvantage, which I didn't think was going to be so bad.
Yeah, and it kind of worked out to be not so good. But so, audio, that's the other immersion. So that's one of our senses. You know, we can't actually taste the game, but we can listen to it and we can see it.
It's probably good that we can't taste it or sometimes smell it, though. I mean, Battlefield?
Yeah, that'd be kind of bad, I guess. But audio is a good cue because that way we can tell when people are coming up on us. We can, it gets us into the game.
Well, I find it really interesting to get this discussion a lot. Like, what is good gaming audio? Because you see the pro gamers all the time and they're running what headphones do you normally see?
I see a lot of Sennheiser, but it depends on the gamer.
Right? But you see a lot of the common ones, right? Like Razer, HyperX are really common, especially amongst the streamers.
We're talking about like the big Twitch streamers.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are sponsored and they need to wear their crazy weird shades and stuff. Yeah, they have the mainstream stuff like the Razers, the HyperXs, and it's not necessarily that good.
And I think what's mostly interesting about it is that the pros tend to wear a really specific niche of headphones. And I want to come back to that because I think it will shock our viewers and our listeners too. So what constitutes a good pair of gaming headphones? That's the question I want to ask this episode. And I've got some ideas.
Okay. Well, let's baseline it.
Okay. Baseline it for me.
Price.
Price is important,
Price is important. The other thing would be comfort.
Comfort, right? Because you're gaming for sometimes long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not, you should be comfortable.
You should. And we also have the form factor, which would be like a closed back driver or an open back driver.
Ooh, that's an interesting argument, which is better.
Mm-hmm. And, gaming headphones are pretty much described or defined by having a built-in microphone.
Most of the time. And depending on your train of thought, you might also want a surround sound up to 7.1.
But a lot of speaker, well, and this is the last one. This is the one that I focus on a lot is the driver dynamic, the type of speakers that are going to be right next to your ears.
Now you're going kind of audiophile route though. I don't think most people look into that, although they might pick if they've got two that are very similar, the one that has the larger driver.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I had my good friend, and I won't call him out on this because, you know, reasons, but he pinged me and he wanted to know what I was using because he knows that I'm kind of a headphone geek. Mm-hmm. And also what I would recommend because they're not always the same thing.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because, I mean, let's face it, you kind of get comfortable with a good set of headphones. Like, this is a great example. We're recording the podcast right now, and we are using the same headphones we've used for
a long time. And that's my fault because I don't upgrade our headphone gear.
But we become comfortable with them and they do the job. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, we could get better headphones, but we're used to these. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are in that same zone. So he pings me and wants to know what we're doing. And this is where I started to have to ask him questions, right? So I'll walk through that with you because there are really three different trains of thought for this. Mm-hmm. So let's explore them. I'm just going to high level them and then let's take a deep dive.
Okay.
So number one, do you need noise-canceling headphones to play your game? What does that do?
Okay,
so come back to that. Number two, do you really need a dedicated gaming rig with surround sound, 5X, 7X, whatever?
And that's a bit negligible for obvious reasons.
And then lastly, why wouldn't I just buy an audiophile headset and then maybe grab a separate mic like some of the streamers do?
Now see, that one comes back to the very first thing that I said a little while ago.
Well, okay, let's explore these things. I want to start with noise-canceling headphones. And the reason I want to start here, Dennis, is because we got a cool gift in the mail from our friends at Creative this week.
Okay.
Got them in my hand right here.
And they are...
Dun, dun, dun. I'm going to grab the packaging so I get all the details right. But these are the new Creative Zen hybrid wireless over-ear headphones with hybrid active noise cancellation. That's a mouthful.
That's like an Amazon title right there.
So let's just call them the Creative Zen hybrid headphones. Mm-hmm. And note that they have active noise canceling, which is kind of a big deal.
It's huge.
Like, I'm kind of a big deal holding these headphones. That's how it feels, because these are an incredible value. So these are the latest from Creative, and it's not a secret that we like Creative products. Mm-hmm. Creative has long been a leader in the audio community, especially with computers. So I want to talk about these a little bit because I want to give Creative credit. These are phenomenal headphones with active noise canceling. I think you said you saw these well under $100. I saw them under $100 and was surprised. You mm-hmm. saw them how cheap? And I know we hate to quote prices, but I think it's important.
They were on sale a little while ago for something like $40.
So maybe you should be opening your browser and taking a look at these things, because it is literally impossible to find wireless active noise canceling headphones under $100.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've tried.
I'll put a link down in the show notes so you can go check it out. You'll definitely go to the Amazon store, and if you make a purchase, that helps support the Hardware Science podcast.
Yeah, and I got to be fair, I like these enough that I'm going to try to bust out a full review of them because I think they deserve it. Mm-hmm. So you'll be watching for that too, probably in the next few weeks.
Okay.
But I brought the competition.
You brought the competition. And these are all noise-canceling headphones that we're going to be talking mm-hmm. about.
Because I'm a headphone nerd. Don't say that out loud. It sounds weird.
It's really super weird.
But I own a lot of headphones. So I want to share the most popular choice in the world in my hand right now. These are the Bose Quiet Comfort 2 headphones.
You know what? Hold up, the Creative's right next to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do they have that's different?
Very similar in the form factor. In fact, let's do this because we just called them small. Let's do a quick compare on the cups. Oh, look at me juggling.
Ear cups are actually larger than the Bose on the Creative. That's actually not a surprise, really.
Very, very close.
The thing I notice is that the ear cups are oval
mm-hmm.
and they fully collapse. So you can spin them around and put them into a small bag. They're compact.
Flatten them, right.
And they're both wireless. They're both noise canceling. I'm going to say that Creative probably took a couple of notes from Bose and kind of made a very similar product.
So I'm going to share with you that I don't love the Bose Quiet Comfort headphones, even though they've been, quote, number one for a long time, because they were one of the first ones in this market.
And I want to say that some of that is they were the first. So when you think noise-canceling headphones, you immediately go to Bose because Bose did it for the mm-hmm. longest time.
Well, and some of that is, I think, as an audiophile, we just like to bang on Bose in general, because initially, what was Bose? All advertising, no performance, right?
Unless you get the Acoustamass.
Well, even those were...
It's a little over the top.
So these are the most popular, and I can tell you that their noise canceling is really great. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm looking forward to comparing it to the Creative, because I can tell you just from my limited experience with the Creative that these are better.
Okay.
But they're also...
really expensive. Like $300, right?
Over $300.
Well, what else you got over there?
Ooh, you noticed I had a second package, right? So let me fold these back up, like the Creatives.
I mean, I can't talk about headphones and not have you bring over a whole suitcase full of them.
Oh, I had to resist, really, trust me, because I didn't even bring any of my trusty Sennheisers, but we'll talk about them.
Well, there was one that we talked about at one point that you were really upset because they normally come in a wooden box and you didn't get the box.
Oh, yeah. Those are the
planers, I think.
The planar magnetics. So these... I'm going to share with you are red hot. Like, these have only been out for a very short period of time. And looking at these, you can see the form factor is a lot different. And in fact, you might have to look a little close to see the brand on these guys.
Oh, it's YNOS. No, Sony. Yay. So wow, these have, so the shape.
All right, you want to compare to the Creative just as a benchmark?
Well, yeah, so let's go ahead and look at shape. Ear cups are actual ovals, they're kind of O's. They're not ovals.
Not so egg-shaped.
The thing that I gravitated to was the fact that Sony looks like they just kind of attached them to the top of the ear cup.
Which is interesting.
It's not, that's very non-traditional, for sure.
But feel the comfort of the pad, too, because we're talking like a lot of memory foam.
Yeah, we got a lot of crazy weird pleather going on mm-hmm. here. I don't like the headband.
It is more comfortable than it looks.
And the reason I say I don't like the headband is because it is really small. It's like a half an inch wide by maybe a half an inch tall, with a little over 3/8 of an inch. I'm talking metric, or not metric here, but imperial, of memory foam padding. So the headband is really thin.
Right. So what I can tell you about the Sonys is that this is Generation 5, or the X5 version of the their headphones. And it is really new. Like, well, at the time this is recorded, they're a couple months old, and they are about $400. So they are very expensive. And, you know, as you're listening to this, you'll maybe find better deals, or I might be wrong because the market's a little crazy right now.
Right. So I was looking at the connections on the bottom, and then we can move on to talking why we'd want to have noise canceling.
So yeah, these are active noise canceling. It's always on. They use 8 microphones, which is unheard of in the industry, to detect and analyze the background sound. Mm-hmm. And then it does all the normal stuff you'd expect from Bluetooths. Nice drivers, very clear sound.
USB charging, I'm assuming that you can plug them in.
USB-C charging, long battery life. And I'm not even going to quote stats on it. I'm just going to tell you that they are by far the most effective active noise-canceling headphones that I've ever used. But coming back to gaming.
Why would we want to have noise-canceling when we're gaming?
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. When you're gaming, there are a couple things that are really important to most folks. Number one, clarity, right?
Yes.
Number two, positional sound. Mm-hmm. Number three is not active noise canceling.
No.
Or 4 or 5 or anything on this, because that's what most people are concerned about when they're gaming. Why? Because you want to be able to be clear on what's going on around you, listen for the audio clues. Mm-hmm. And the positional sound is very important, especially if you're playing a versus game, so you can know what's going on. And yeah. I would argue even in a single player game, you need to know if you're going to be attacked from behind, something's going on, that kind of thing.
And really, the only reason you would need to have noise canceling at all is that if you are in a loud environment, you know, say you're in an apartment, second floor, Main Street in New York. I don't know if they have a Main Street, but some busy street, some in some industrial area, you're really close to the street. There's stuff going on all the time. I can see where you'd want to have a bit of noise canceling because that's going to make your game a lot more clear. Unfortunately for you and me, I'm pointing at Darren, we don't have that problem.
And even at a LAN party.
Well, at a LAN party, when everyone's in the game, nobody's talking. That's the thing. Nobody has any speakers going along. So, you know, everyone's on the headphones. It's a very quiet environment. So you don't necessarily need to have it, but it is a bit nice to have.
So the positional sound in these is really good for a 2.0 system. Mm-hmm. Really good. And a lot of folks prefer that. You can do tricks with the audio or the game to support Mach 3D sound, and it makes these sound pretty good.
The one thing I noticed about all of these headphones is that they are just headphones. They do not have a microphone on them, which makes them a little bit difficult when it comes to talking in games. And that's where you need to have a dedicated mic on your desk. You know, for me, I'm a bit low rent, and I use a USB webcam as my microphone.
No!
I know, and you catch a lot of echoes and stuff going around in the background, but I also do not normally play with headphones. I play with desktop speakers.
Right.
And that USB mic can detect when there's sounds coming from the speakers, and it kind of cuts them off back and forth. It works really, really well because they work together. Unfortunately, that isn't necessarily very high quality. And Darren can probably attest that there's a lot of times when there's a crazy echo.
Yeah, that's very true, especially when you initially get going. And if you forget, of course, to turn on the sound loop there. So we're missing the dedicated mic. They're all closed back because of noise canceling. So I think this is a good opportunity to talk about closed back versus open back.
Right.
Which is, honestly, it's a Pepsi versus Coke thing. Mostly.
Mostly. I mean, the reason for that, you know, we have an open back versus a closed back. From a pure audio standpoint, closed back is going to give you the most immersive sound because the driver is going to be echoing off of that closed back into your ear. When it's open, the sound has a way to escape.
Ooh.
Now, the one thing that...
That's a hot take. You know that's a hot take.
Yeah, it's a hot take.
Because I would argue that you can get more driver variance, more travel, if you will, out of the speakers with an open back, which gives you a little bit more frequency response.
You're talking about bass reflex in your headphones.
Well, I'm talking even the treble, right? Because you don't have to worry about echo with an open back. So it is a very hot take and a preference, if you will.
Right. Now, there is one medical benefit for having an open back headphone. And that is if you are having headphones on your head and you're gaming for 6-7 hours every day, that traps a lot of moist wet air next to your ears and will give you ear infections.
And if you are prone to listening at high volumes, you're going to get some pressure there also, mm-hmm. especially in the heavy bass driven tracks.
Yeah. Where that's one nice thing about having an open back headphone. Darren seems to like him because he thinks he gets better frequency response.
Crisper.
I happen to like him because it allows me to block out some of the external noise that might be happening. So I can concentrate more on my game and not so much on somebody's opening the door and trying to throw stuff at me.
Now, just for fun, let's pull up an article. Let's see what the common sites, the popular sites are saying are the best gaming headphones, because I always find this really interesting. So who we got here?
Nope, not this one. I got to pull up another page.
Dun, dun. All right, well, let's
go to PC Gamer because reasons. As of this recording, this was published 21 days ago by Dave.
Ooh, so really new.
The best gaming headsets in 2022.
Seems bold.
Bold, super bold. And yeah, we got some scary pictures here right now. All right, third paragraph down, he basically says, having good audio doesn't always need to cost the world.
Ooh, Sennheiser would argue with that maybe, but okay, I'm on board.
And then at this point is when he starts to justify why he chose these. We're going to skip that part. We're just going to go directly to...
Dive in. Oh, painful. Number one pick.
Number one is the Razer Black Shark V2.
Oh, at least they've chosen the newer one. Okay.
So if we go through the specs really quick, we have to trust the specs because we have really no way to test this. But we have, it's not wireless. They have 50 millimeter drivers, the Razer Triforce Titanium. So ideally these have metal cones. Connectivity is 3.5 millimeter or a USB sound card. So it's going to be a USB connected. Frequency response is 12 hertz up to 28 kilohertz.
That one might actually come with a USB dongle, but...
I believe so.
Okay.
Obviously, a USB sound card is probably the dongle you plug it in. And that is really where audio for the desktop PC is going, is these USB dongles. You know, we've seen a lot of motherboards that don't have the 7.1 surround sound in them anymore, which is pretty crazy.
Well, and that also gives you the ability to use them with your consoles if you're a multi-source user.
In reasons to buy, the one that's really the concern here is often under $100. So these headphones, very popular, very cheap.
Well, the good thing here is the 50 millimeter driver is generally the par for a good lower end headphone, because 50 millimeters gives you
full range, a
good range of sound response. So it's not a bad choice. Price is good.
Mm-hmm. The next one is number two. This is the HyperX Cloud Alpha Wireless.
Now, I have to say, Dennis, despite my headphone snobbery, I have multiple pairs of HyperX Cloud headphones in my house because, in my mind, it is the best bang for your buck. Most comfortable in the price point. Mm. They sound great, and they tend to look better than those Razer headsets.
Well, and when HyperX was part of Kingston, they sent them to us for review. So we were able to get firsthand accounts and knowledge.
And I'm proud to say that I've sought out some of the rare pink and purple colors for my daughter because there's just no good girl gamer gear.
Ah, see, you're such a good dad.
I try.
All right, so the specifications, these are wireless, which is cool. The drivers are dynamic 50 millimeter with neodymium magnets, which doesn't really mean much. Connectivity is 2.4 gigahertz on the wireless dongle. Frequency response is 15 to 21 kilohertz.
A little less there.
A little less, but we have to also remember that, you know, what is it? The human threshold for hearing is 20 to 20. So the fact that it will respond down to 15 doesn't really do you much unless you're really trying to feel bass. And not many games and even music hits down to 15.
They make a good note here, and I would agree that these are probably the best all-around headphones because they sound really great listening to audio, unless you're only a bass head. Very crisp, very clean, nuanced sound.
Right. There's a couple of items in here for reasons to buy. Battery, I like this combo, so I am going to mention it. Battery life can only be described as witchcraft. That's something that HyperX was really proud of, the fact that they were able to do this and be very powerful.
Oh, they run forever.
And they're also very comfortable. We've talked with various audio manufacturers, including HyperX. HyperX was really proud of their design. Well, once we went with Beyer Dynamic at CES and kind of brought up the HyperX headphones because they looked a lot like the Beyer Dynamics, they flat out said, yeah, they copied us.
That's not a bad thing because the Beyer headphones, really great. We'll get back to those.
The point is the design is where the comfort comes in because of the way that they are, you know, the springing and the ear cups and everything, the whole package. That's our opinion. The next one on the list is their opinion is going to be the Razer Kraken X.
Oh, now these are just cheap. Don't buy these.
You can buy them at GameStop, which is, yeah, okay.
This is like buying Skullcandy headphones.
And thinking you're cool.
Yeah, I don't even know that we want to talk about these. They're under $40 is the big benefit. And they have a decent virtual 7.1 surround sound processor.
No,
and
they don't.
You will always look at everyone around you and wish you had better headphones.
Okay. Well, we're going to look at the specs because that's what we're doing.
Okay.
They're not wireless.
No.
They have 40 millimeter neodymium driver magnets thingies.
Smaller. How does that affect frequency response?
It's going to lower the... It should lower the bass response because yes. They're not going to move very fast.
And it does, but by how much will amaze you. Look at their frequency response.
Well, that is the interesting part too. So connectivity is 3.5 millimeters, so they're going to be analog only. Frequency response is 12 hertz up to 8 kilohertz. So now we have they hit really low for some reason, but they do not hit the highs at all.
Yeah, it's just not right.
It's just backwards. 40 millimeter, don't do it. They're just bad. And then it says it features 7.1 surround sound, ultra lightweight.
That's because there's not much to them.
Well, and it technically cannot do 7.1 surround sound. It might support 7.1 surround sound.
Yeah, it's definitely mocked by the software.
Yep.
I tried these and I thought they were terrible.
And of course, reasons to buy, they can be found for under $40. So.
All right. Sorry, Razer, if you're out there, we would prefer you'd made better headphones.
We're not sorry.
And we're right. We would never recommend them.
And of course, as you can tell, Darren is very passionate.
Passionate. These are garbage. I've had friends buy them and it just makes me hurt inside. Now,
I am surprised that this one is at number four. We have the Beyer Dynamic MMX 100.
Now, well, that's because these are their entry level. Now, Beyer only fairly recently started making headphones for gamers.
That's about 5 years ago they started.
Not too bad. And their first pair of headphones is the MX300s. And they were audiophile quality that they just added a audiophile quality mic to.
Yep. And I will put a link to our review for these headphones down in the show notes.
So what Beyer found, of course, is at just under $400 that it was very difficult to get people to buy these headphones. These are a little bit too much of a compromise, but at the price point, I would still probably recommend them over the Razers.
Specifications. Wireless, no. Drivers, 40 millimeter, but they have the Beyer Dynamic. These are their special in-house designed speakers, basically. And they aren't I think the 300s had 50 millimeter drivers, if I remember correctly. So
yes.
This is the surprising part here. Frequency response, 5 hertz up to 30 kilohertz. So we have an amazing frequency response. Some of it, you know, we're not going to be able to hear anyway.
I just find it amazing that these are occasionally under $100, frankly, because these are so far superior to the most common cans people pick up.
Companies need to diversify, and that's just one of the ways that Beyer Dynamic has done it. They found the MX300s to be really popular, really good, but they were too expensive. So they needed to pare it down so we could have a list on PC Gamer. Next, we have the EPOS H6 Pro.
Now, these are the ones that I specifically wanted to talk about because EPOS is a really new brand, and a lot of folks don't know that what EPOS is Sennheiser in disguise. Sennheiser found they had a great reputation in the audiophile world, but Sennheiser gaming headphones were not really widely adapted, which is crazy because I own, like three pairs, and my daily drivers, I think, are the Sennheiser gaming headphones, and they're not even the current generation. Mm-hmm. I adore them. And so what they did was they spun off into this EPOS brand with the H6 Pro, and there's also a wireless version of it, to get folks interested without the stigma, which it's hard to say, of being a Sennheiser product, the snobbiness, if you will.
So you're saying if Beyer Dynamic didn't call them Beyer Dynamics, they would be in the same class as the EPOS?
I think so. And in fact, I would argue that it depends on the price point whether you would get the EPOS or the Beyers. Mm-hmm. Now, the EPOS, the interesting thing about them is they use, I believe, the drivers from the 620 Sennheisers, if I'm not mistaken. Now, somebody will correct me on that, I'm sure, but it's a 6X series driver, which is the core pair of headphones that Sennheiser makes all their money on, the 6X series.
Well, we have probably the most honest specifications here. Wireless, no. Drivers are 42 millimeter dynamics. Frequency response, 20 to 20. I mean, reasons.
All right.
And every features, removable mic, open or closed back options. Ideally, you probably buy one version or the other.
Well, and this is a Sennheiser thing because they offer mostly open back units, but they do have some closed back. So they recognized that people want either. And you can also maybe, it's not listed here, but you can also get this same headphone in a wireless design. And we have a review for that.
I find it interesting that one of the reasons to avoid is that the braided cable can be a little loud.
Now, this is an interesting thing that you get normally from a review of audiophile headphones. So what they're talking about is you're wearing your headphones, you got your cable hanging, and if it brushes against your chair or your leg or the table or whatever, it introduces a little bit of sound into the headphones because they're so sensitive. And yeah, that's true of a lot of audio headphones, but to call that a negative to me is kind of interesting because that's sort of the same as saying they're too sensitive.
They're too good.
So sensitive, don't hurt their feelings.
This next one had to be included because likely they paid to be on the list. Corsair, the HS80 RGB.
Oh, I've got a pair of these for my son. And the reason is that their wireless is probably the cheapest actual gaming wireless headphones money can buy. And so that's a huge benefit because if you need wireless and you're on a budget, or like me, you have a teenager that's really hard on headphones, you buy these. And they're not bad.
No. Specifications. Wireless, yes. 50 millimeter neodymium drivers. The connectivity, this is the thing you were talking about. This is specific to Corsair. They love to market the schnot out of it. It's basically,
yes, they do.
The Slipstream wireless dongle. And this is the same wireless that they use for their keyboards and mice, everything. Frequency response, 20 to 30 kilohertz. So, a bit into the high range. And it features an omnidirectional broadcast grade mic, which some would say that we don't need to have omnidirectional in our microphone because that picks up everything that happens in the room, but
yeah,
it's a feature. I do like one of the reasons to buy is the excellent high resolution audio plus Dolby Atmos.
Right. So they paid a little extra to get Dolby noise sound processing. And that was a good decision. And they are cheap, friendly, and you can pick them up even at your local hardware store mostly. And I will share with you a little secret. If you don't mind the color, you can get the yellow ones. I think they're called the Stingers, and they're always on sale somewhere.
That's because they didn't go over well. Corsair's claim to fame is that they are everywhere, including Best Buy. So you can pick them up just about, go down to, like you said, the local hardware store, probably a 7-Eleven. Pick them up from a gamer on the corner.
So we've talked about the mainstream. We banged on them a little bit. Shared our opinions, but I think it's time to talk about if we were an audiophile, if money was no object.
If the big quote-unquote if.
If all you care about is sound quality, and there are a lot of folks out there, right, that the foundation maybe is the PC, but they're going to listen to premium music, maybe Blu-rays, maybe they're going to put in the fancy directional audio, Pink Floyd stuff, FLACS, you name it. Those headphones we just talked about, all of them are not going to cut it. No. So what do you buy?
Oh, well, the reason I paused was because I was kind of thinking about it because this can go all sorts of different ways. I mean, you could go and spend $5,000 on a set of headphones, but does it make sense? Not so much.
No. Well, not unless you have the gear to match, which most people are not because you're using these with a PC or with a console.
Correct. I would say probably the threshold for me would be probably the Behr Dynamics. I've been looking at some of the, what was it, the 1990s. They're like
monitors.
$800 or something crazy like that. I like those. They're comfortable. They sound great.
Closed back.
They're closed back. They also have a balanced cable that comes off of it. So you can plug that directly into any sort of a DAC.
And a replaceable, upgradable cable. You know how I feel about that.
Yeah, you got to be able to replace the cable because if they don't, then they bring them over to my house and you say, hey, can you fix this? It's like, no. Cannot. But at that point, they are missing the microphone.
Exactly.
And as I had mentioned, I like to play with just basically a basic microphone, but I'm not in a game to go and start chatting with people.
Right.
If I'm in there, I don't really care about my sound quality in terms of letting other people hear it.
Now we know why we suffer when we play with Dennis.
Exactly.
It's on purpose.
But if it was me and I had those awesome headphones, those Behr Dynamics, I'm going to be pairing it with a really good audio card. I'm not going to do like this USB thing that plugs into your computer, and it's going to be an actual dedicated sound card. Probably, you know, I'm a little partial to the Creative, the AE9.
I think that's a great choice.
It has the breakout box that allows you to plug in XLR microphones. So I could probably use a microphone similar to what we're using on the podcast right now. That would be my broadcast mic. Or it could be just any sort of other desktop mic. I mean, even the Blue Yeti is a good choice.
And they've gotten so affordable.
They have.
Every streamer's got one.
Everyone. But the problem with all that is that I'm paying $800 for headphones.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be paying almost four bills for the AE9 to put into my PC.
Right.
Assuming that I have an expansion slot to support it. And then I'm going to be spending another $200 to $300 on a quality microphone. I'm sitting $1,200, $1,000 just in the audio gear. That's not necessarily affordable to a lot of people, but again, cost is no object.
So let me talk again about my buddy that started us off, because he had a similar quandary. And I pointed him also at the Creative products. I really wanted him to get Sennheiser headphones, because if I asked myself that same question, what would I use today? I think the answer is obvious, because we've talked about this so often.
Use what you have at your desk right now.
I have Sennheiser headphones, and I have the older set of Sennheiser headphones, not the EPOS, and I would replace them maybe with the latest for Masterop, which are basically the same, which is a newer driver. So they are the Sennheiser Gaming. They're about $160 headset, and I have them plugged into a Creative X7. I'm kind of with you, but I don't like the external microphone. But if I did, I would probably pick the Yeti also, because at the price point, it's good enough for everything but the pros and the streamers.
Now, the microphone you have on your Sennheiser is actually really good. A lot of times when we are doing little conference calls, you put on the headset and I can't really tell that it's a connected microphone, which is good, because that way, you know, you've tuned it well. And it kind of speaks to the quality of that particular mic. But a lot of times when you buy those high-end headphones, all the money goes into the hearing part, not necessarily the speaking part.
So my buddy bought the Creative, but he went with the external DAC, the G6, right?
G5,
I think, is the latest version, but mostly because he wanted to be portable. And then he went an interesting route. So to close this out, my buddy, if he's listening out there, will tell you that he bought Audio-Technica's, the ATH M500Xs, because he wanted closed backs, and he already had a pair of Audio-Technica's on his stereo, which were much more expensive, so he was pretty happy with the way they sound. It just goes to show that when you go into audiophile land, Dennis, you probably have a brand you already like, you're probably loyal, and you have a unique sound signature you like. If you can afford it, you're probably better off getting audiophile headphones like a Sennheiser 6X series, for example, and an external mic. Two reasons. One, it's going to sound better out of the box. And two, like a good component build, Dennis, you can replace only the pieces you need as they age out.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareofsound.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware of Sound by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.